Should the Nets pay the appropriate fines to allow Kyrie Irving to play home games?
I don't know about that.
Let's talk about it.
You Mr. Basketball Talk.
It is the Pins of Raw.
Yeah, boy!
Basketball news, interviews, topics, and much, much more. So without further ado, put your hands together for Independent Raw.
Okay, so my team, the Brooklyn Nets, have fallen to third place in the Eastern Conference. And one of the reasons why this team is currently in third place is the mere fact that Kyrie Irving has sat out 35 games. And off the top of my head, I want to say he has only played with the Nets for 3 games. But beyond all that, let me explain to y'all how New York employment rules work. So being that Kyrie is a member of the Brooklyn Nets, and the Brooklyn Nets is based out of New York City, particularly Brooklyn, New York, there's a protocol that the former mayor, his name is Bill Blasio, for those who don't know, he put in place. And what it is that he had put in place that all employees of New York has to be vaccinated to work. Now, I'm going to say that again. He's put in place that everybody that works in New York City has to be vaccinated. And this is crazy. So it started with just New York City workers, meaning if you work for the city of New York, you was a housing worker, you was a cop, fire department, whatever, you worked for New York City. That's how it was initially put, that in order to work for New York City, you had to be vaccinated. And for those who chose not to be vaccinated, hospital workers, they took it on a hop. A lot of people became vaccinated because of this, because they knew that they was going to lose their job if they didn't get vaccinated. Okay. Then de Blasio went into the private sectors. And he started saying, if you are an employee of someone in the private sector, you must be vaccinated. And this is the reason why Kyrie Irving cannot play games in New York City. However, he actually can play games in New York City if the Nets is willing to pay fines. So now, what are these fines? The fines is this. The first time New York City finds out that you have an employee working for you and that employee is not vaccinated, for the first time, what New York City does is they will warn you. The second time, they will give you $1,000 fine. The third time they find out that you have an employee that is not vaccinated, they will give you a $3,000 fine. And then after the third time, from the fourth time on, you will receive $5,000 fines. So now this means that technically Kyrie Irving can play home games if the Brooklyn Nets is willing to pay these fines, which makes absolutely no sense. Let's be honest. Now, if it was the playoffs was here, don't be surprised if Brooklyn decides to pay these fines. But as of now, it makes no sense for Brooklyn to continue to pay fines, just to start paying fines, all because Kyrie doesn't want to be vaccinated. Now, here's the thing. I respect Kyrie's decision not to become vaccinated. I respect that. However, what I don't respect is Brooklyn, you guys got to take more of a stance. And that's the bottom line. I mean, bad enough in sports, we always lose good players to injuries. That's bad enough. However, when you have a player that's not able to come to work when doing home games because of the mere fact he decides not to be vaccinated, now you guys got to take a better business stance. And that business stance is obvious. You got to trade him. I mean, I get it. That's Kevin Durant's best friend. Hey, you guys can still be best friends. But he just will not be on this team. And if I was the owner of this organization, I would tell Kyrie that straight up. I would tell Kevin Durant that straight up. So if that means that if I trade him, if it means that I have to trade you, Kevin Durant also, then that's just what it's going to be. Because at the end of the day, we are going a little too far in the pursuit of a championship. Yeah, I get it. If the Nets win a championship, any team for that matter wins a championship, that team goes down into history. But after a while, what is it outside of what are you receiving outside of bragging rights? Because once you win a championship, then it really means nothing. Excuse me, let me read back. Let me rewind that. Once you win a championship, it only means something until the next season starts. Look at the Milwaukee Bucks. They won a championship. Soon as the season started, no one even counted them to repeat, which is clearly a possibility that this organization might repeat. So, what I'm talking about is NBA championship. You in this quest to win it so bad that you're willing to sell your soul. And what do I mean by selling your soul? What I mean by selling your soul is you're not making good business decisions for the mere fact that there are players on your roster that you don't want to rub the wrong way. But that's not good business decision. Good business decision means we're going to do what's best for this organization. Bottom line, I am not going to pay a man $30-something million per year, and then he's going to tell me, hey, I'm not going to play because I don't want to be vaccinated. I mean, he may tell me that, but what I'll tell him is, no problem. I have to find a team that I can send you to that you're allowed to play. Because you are no good for me only playing home games. And don't get me wrong, the Nets sliding to third place has more to do with just Kyrie not playing. Let's be crystal clear. They have more issues than that. I'll be honest with you. But that is one of the issues. And we have to get to the point where we just begin to start tackling the issue of what's going on with this team. Defense is an issue. I said that in the last podcast. But we have to be able to put the problems on the board and decide to start tackling these problems one by one. And that's the problem. Kyrie not playing home games is a problem. Just the mere fact that we're talking about he can play if the Nets is willing to endure these fines, that's the problem. And the reason why I say that's a problem, because the NBA doesn't want that. The NBA has sent out a memo. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you now. They sent out a memo that basically said, that they want teams to be in compliance with their states. That's what they said. So in other words, New York has the compliance, like I said earlier, that we want you guys to, you can't play unless you're vaccinated. That's New York City. Not the state of New York, ladies and gentlemen. New York City. That's what New York City say. All employees must be vaccinated. So if that's the rule that the city of New York have, the NBA wants the Brooklyn Nets to comply with that. And how the, so they don't, in other words, they don't want them just paying fines. It's just kind of bad for business. And it's even worse for business that if Brooklyn would do that. And from what I'm told, Brooklyn is not interested in doing it. And that's good. And the reason why I'm saying that's good is because we got to keep remembering and thinking about the kids. We don't want to keep putting this stuff out there where kids start to think it's okay to not follow rules. Or if I have money, I can break the rules because I have money. We don't want to send that message to the kids. So since we don't want to send that message to the kids, Brooklyn is clearly right to not pay these fines. Playoffs come, I won't be surprised if they begin to pay the fines, but as of now, they're not paying the fines. Another problem with Brooklyn, bench production. For whatever reason, my guy Bruce Brown, his minutes is down. I don't know what's going on because him and Bembry are the best two defenders that the Brooklyn Nets have. And neither one, and Bruce Brown hasn't been getting the minutes that I feel he deserves. But that's another talk show. Javon Carter came for the Phoenix Suns. He's a backup of a backup of a backup of a backup point guard. I clearly hate his game. I don't think he's a good ball player. The Nets signed him over the summer. Now, reports are they're now interested in trading him. The only problem is where and for who. Because I know most of you guys that's listening to this podcast are going to say, who the hell is Javon Carter? And if for those who want to know who he is, he's a scrub. He's supposed to be a point guard. He can't score. He's averaging 2 points off of something like 28% shooting, something like that. Guy's terrible. Supposed to be this great defender. This is the reason why the Nets allegedly brought him into Brooklyn. He was supposed to be this great shooter. I mean, defender. I don't know. I don't see it, you know. Or, you know, maybe he was a better defender before he got his $6 million. I think they gave him $6 million. I don't know. But bottom line, he's not a good player. Reports are they're looking to trade him. I don't know where. And I'm only bringing this part of the story up only because I hate when someone doesn't tackle the issue. What are we talking about trading Javon Carter for? What are you talking about that for? It's a waste of conversation. We need to be talking about what we can get for Kyrie Irving. Shit, we need to be talking about what we can get for James Harden. Let's keep it real. Yeah, he has some good games, but if you don't think, if Philly is willing to give up Ben Simmons, you don't think I'm taking that trade? I'll take it in a heartbeat. Why? Because I know that if I get Ben Simmons, what I'm getting is someone who can play the point guard position, but more importantly, I'm getting someone who defends. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting someone who defends. So please spare me with the Javon Carter trade talk. Because that's a relevant conversation. Let's talk about breaking up this so-called big three. And let's get some players in there that can actually help win a championship. Yeah, they beat Chicago. And they beat them up badly out there in Chicago the other night. But then what? Then what? You spend all this money for these guys. And the quote-unquote big three probably played about 16 games together. So far, it's always been something. It's always been this guy's injured, or that guy is injured, this guy's injured. Now you got the Kyrie refusing to get vaccinated. So it's always something with these guys. So me personally, I'm ready to move on. And speaking of moving on, what is the Houston Rockets going to do with John Wall? For those that's unfamiliar or unclear about John Wall's situation, the Houston Rockets is paying him $44 million to sit at home. Why? Because they feel that that's what's the best interest of the organization. Now, how they looking at it is like this. Naturally, they would like to trade John Wall. However, since there's no takers of this $44 million for this year, $47 million he's owed next year, since there's no takers in the NBA, they're just letting him sit and dry. And the reason why there's no takers for John Wall contract is because teams is really waiting for Houston to do a buyout with John Wall. So let's see. 44 and 47 is about what? $91 million, right? So how that works is they'll go to him and they'll try to negotiate something that's worth less than $91 million. And if John Wall agrees to it, he gets bought out and Houston will have 5 years to pay that money. So let's say they negotiate $85 million. They will have 5 years. He'll be on their books for the next 5 years paying that $85 million. And this is what teams is waiting for. This is why there's really no takers for John Wall at this point. Now, that doesn't mean that at some point as we get closer to the NBA playoffs that somebody's going to do something. That does that mean that at all? Because God forbid a player that's in playoff contention can possibly lose a point guard that's real vital to their team. And then they may just call John Wall. Call Houston and acquire by John Wall. But as we know, this all has to happen before the NBA trade deadline. So as bad as I want to say a player name, I'm not going to say. But I'm just going to let you guys imagine. Between now and the NBA trade deadline, there's an NBA player who's a point guard who's essentially vital to his team. The team is in first place. If he wasn't on the team, the team would not be in playoff contention. Better yet, being in first place. Let's say if this guy get hurt. And I don't want to say his name because he has a history of being hurt. So that's why I don't want to say his name. Because I don't want to be feeling like the one who jinxed him. But if you know basketball, you know who I'm talking about. As they say in the street, if you know, you know. Let's say he gets hurt between now and the NBA trade deadline. I can see, and I'm talking about hurt to the degree where they say he will not be back. Now, that organization is going to have a decision to make. Do they try to move forward without him? Or do they get desperate and say, let's get John Wall? Now, for the record, Houston is not looking for no stars for John Wall. They may be looking for some young players and some draft picks. Because they're in a clear rebuild mode. This is why John Wall is not playing. Because if John Wall was playing, not only do they feel that some of their younger players was going to have to sit on the bench and it will stop them from growing, they also know that John Wall could probably get an organization an extra 3 wins. They don't want those 3 wins because they say those 3 wins may stop us or may eliminate some of our chances of getting the number one draft pick again. So they don't want John Wall to come in there and impede the progress of any of their younger players, for one. And for two, they don't want him to come in and help this team get an extra 3 to 5 wins. And this is the reason why he's basically sitting home. He's on a trade block, but like I said, there's no takers. So, not only that, it's no takers. It's clear that Houston really looking like they're not trying to buy him out. So, Wall is in a real tough situation because there's a possibility that he may have to sit out next season. With this mentality that Houston has, at worst, this is the worst scenario. Next season, his last season on that contract, which is worth $47 million. But realistically, he may have to sit out next season. At worst. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think John Wall is not going to get on the court this year nor next year. I really don't think it's going to happen. Because, like I said, Houston could try to trade him first. If that don't go down, then Houston could just move on to phase two and just buy him out. And that could all happen this season. Once they buy him out and cut him, he clears waivers, and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent, and then you're going to see teams go after him. That can very well happen this season. Worst scenario is they could do neither one of those things I just described and wait to next season. Now, we're going to have to just assume that his trade value just may be a little bit more next season, only because it's the last year of his contract. So now you may have an organization that have some contracts that's under contract that they want to dump. And they say, yeah, I'll give him the $47 million this year. Why? Because once the $47 million is up, so is he. You know, so that's the situation that John Wall is in. And it's a bad situation because the way things is going, he will never get this large contract again. Not saying that he deserved one, because, you know, he has a history of injuries. I mean, he just sat out 2 years prior to coming back to Washington, prior to getting traded to Houston. So I'm not, but then again, it's not my place to say what somebody deserves. So let's be clear. But what I am saying is this. If he's not playing, he's not putting himself in position, or just being put in position, period. Not even putting himself in it. Let me take that out. He's not being put in position to get a big contract, and it don't have to be super humongous, but just something decent after this contract right here expires. It's all I'm saying. If he's bought out this season right here, let's say he's bought out and he signs on with a contender, that contender is not going to give John Wall a lot of money. At this point, no organization is going to jump out the window and give John Wall a lot of money. And it's a bad situation, but it's business. I almost said I feel sorry for him, but how the hell I'm going to feel sorry for a millionaire? For someone who's made millions and millions of dollars in his basketball career. How am I going to say I feel sorry? So, I almost said that. But thank God I didn't say it. But what I will say is, it's a bad situation for him and his basketball career. Because we can all see it spiraling down. We can all see it. And I'll be honest with you. There was some when he came back off an injury, there were some things that the Washington Wizards said to him that he was in disagreement. And I think one of the things they said to him was that they were looking to feature Bradley Beal more. And John Wall, let's not be mistaken, ladies and gentlemen, John Wall requested a trade out of Washington. Now, this Negro got some nerve because he had just been hurt for 2 seasons and was getting paid for 2 seasons and had the audacity to come back and after hearing the organization out, asking to be traded. Now, the problem with this, and I tell players this all the time, be careful when you ask to leave somewhere, especially if you're the man, because you can be the man over here, but then you get somewhere else and they don't care about you. Facts are, if John Wall was still in Washington, he will be starting. That's a fact. However, he requested to be traded, and they traded him for Westbrook out of Houston. He played some games, got hurt again. Now, he's ready to come back. Houston's ready to move on. He got all his money from Washington. So Washington and Houston may feel a little different. And what I mean by they may feel a little different, Washington may feel we need to pay this Negro because we don't pay this Negro. Houston feels like we're paying him, but so we don't have to play him. See, that's the difference in the organizations. So when he asks to leave Washington, I'll be honest with you, he pretty much left the best part of his career. Because even though, in my mind, I still think he can average 20 points and 10 assists a game, the million-dollar question is, will he ever be in position to do so? Will they ever send him to a team that's going to give him enough minutes to do so? And as long as that contract is what it is, I'm going to tell you no. So he's going to have to reserve that for, or possibly may have to reserve all that for the year after next year. And then the question is, we talk about 2 years from now, will he be able to do that? I don't know. Because the decline of an NBA player is rapid. That comes quick. You know, I don't know. I remember Kevin Durant and Paul Pierce was just key components of the Boston Celtics before the Nets traded for them. Within the 4 months or 5 months that they had just played, or 6 months that they just had played their last NBA game to come to Boston, to come to Brooklyn, they clearly weren't the same players that they were in Boston. So the decline of an NBA player comes quick. So if tomorrow, what I'm saying, if Houston holds on to John Wall this year and next year and do not let him play and just pay him, which they can do, we don't know what John Wall will be in 2 years. His NBA career may be over. So with that, I'm Independent Rob. You listening to Basketball Talk with Independent Rob, a.k.a. Mr. Basketball Talk. And whatever platform you listen to this podcast on, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and hit that follow button. Peace.